4 o'clock. Good afternoon. We will call the February 17th Rogers Waterworks and Sewer Commission meeting to order. The first item is I will open up the meeting with the public forum. And we have an item of business in the public forum.
Crickets.
And I'm going to wait for one other person. There's a key person who has failed to enter the room yet. The suspense is killing him. Travis, I'm not sure that this could be interesting.
Ronald McDonald Clan.
Do you see that? Do you see that sewer line break in DC?
No.
Google it. It's all poured into the Potomac
River. Is there anyone in the audience that is the public forum that wishes to address the commission on any item that's not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will continue to hold.
I guess we can get started. We break into that one.
We are in public. We are in the public forum, and you have the floor.
Yeah, can we just wait?
We can, absolutely. I've got them all there. There's suspense out.
We'll come back to public forum in a moment, sir.
Yes, but we can. I'm going to close the public forum, and we can come back to that here in just a minute. Let's go ahead then and move to action. On the minutes we have in our packet, we have minutes from our January 20th meeting. At this time, I will entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion for the discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve the minutes from January the 20th. And we're going to continue to move along. So our first item will be in reports, and we'll start with financial. Chair, thank you.
Sir, this is our financial report for the January. So for billed revenue and consumption, we'll start with the water department. For January, billed revenue is at $1.4 million. That's down 6.5% from billed revenue in January of 2025. If you look at revenue associated with consumption, it's up 3.9%, while water consumption itself is basically holding steady at 0.2% change over last year. For sewer, billed revenue is at $1.8 million. That's down 4%. However, the piece associated with consumption is up 16.9%, while consumption itself down 0.7%. Through January, we've got 7 months passed, so 7 divided by 12, 58% is our benchmark for our actuals versus budget comparison. In the water department, revenues are trending under at 53%, expenses also under at 57%, while our water capital outlay is at 35% of budget. In terms of dollars, that capital outlay is $3.8 million. For the sewer department, revenues are trending over the benchmark at 59%. Expenses right on target at 58%, and sewer capital outlay is 30% of budget. But that equates to $14.2 million worth of capital outlay in the sewer department. For year-to-date income, we will scroll down to the next page here and look at our month-by-month comparison. Net income in the water department was $290,000. $205,000 of that I have broken out and put in this category of contributed slash grant revenue down here at the bottom. That $205,000 was associated with contributed capital, contributed assets from developers, leaving $85,000 for our apples to apples monthly figure up here. And that's considerably less, you can see, than last month and what we've typically brought in for January. I can tell you that access and impact fees are about $147,000 less this January compared to January a year ago. Or excuse me, compared to, yeah, that's right, January a year ago. And then also, there was a salaries accrual that I should have posted that would have moved $32,000 worth of expense out of January and put it in December. So that basically would have made your December net income come down by $32,000 and boosted your January by that amount. You know, if access and impact fees were holding steady, and if I had made that accrual, this number would be $264,000, which is more in line with what you see for the prior two Januaries. So that there are other factors going up and down, but you know, just looking at our income statement and trying to pinpoint what's driving it, I would point to those two things. It's total net income of $4.35 million on the year. That's 44% of our budgeted net income. And then down in sewer, we show it was net income of $613,000, but $174,000 of that was contributed capital, leaving $439,000 here in our month-to-month comparison. And I'll just put in as an aside here, I'm open to suggestions. If this is an awkward way of you looking at this number and thinking, well, why don't we just have a number for the month that ties to the income statement where I can see the figures tie for water and for sewer, we can definitely do that. It's just that when you have something like contributed capital in there, those are big dollar amounts. It could be a lot in any one month. And so trying to get that apples to apples comparison, it kind of throws a wrench in things, right? So I realize it's a little bit awkward to kind of have to talk through this each month and piece together what's showing up in that contributed bucket versus what's showing up in the month-to-month comparisons. I'll take whatever suggestions you have, but...
Is there an industry standard way of presenting this with contributed capital in, or is this as close as we get?
Yeah, and we could look at maybe just how we present our income statement and doing that maybe in a simplified view here, or maybe I make an effort to show operating expenses as a bucket and contributed capital in a different bucket. I could explore it a little bit more. I know that this is sort of an in-house solution that we've derived over the years to try to get helpful information, right? But I can certainly explore ways of tinkering with it and maybe even getting to something more industry standard rather than an in-house presentation.
Well, I'm most concerned about the real money.
Right.
That's the part that's the core of this is the real money. It's not the contributed piece because like there's a discretion of how that gets valued and how it really works in. You're accounting for it.
Yeah.
It has really nothing to do with cash. Mm-hmm. And that's where when I looked at the 85, that was my concern is it's a lot lower than the numbers we see on that page. So I'm motioning for it. I know you're going to recognize it.
Yeah.
And you're recognizing it as we go, rather than at a lump sum somewhere. In previous years, we were taking a lump sum adjustment. It really never hit these numbers. It hit the income statement, it hit the balance sheet, but it never hit these numbers month to month. Mm-hmm. So, however you need to do that from an audit, whatever they require, but these numbers, I go back to just what's the real money? And that's the, you're trying to adjust it back to get us the real core. That's all that it's
definitely a fair observation that this doesn't pretend to be or pretend to be the end all be all either. Obviously, we have these accounting numbers here, revenues and expenses on an accrual basis, but we also, for instance, show our unrestricted and restricted cash at the end of the month, and these two things should be viewed together for a fuller picture of how we're doing. So,
Commissioner, do y'all have any comment? I mean, I know. We all kind of know the intent. If there's a way that you'd like to see it differently, that gives you a better feel of it, just if you, give Jared a call and give him any feedback. But again, I think it's it is a little bit awkward when we're trying to match those numbers back.
This won't help you match it if you're looking at the income statement.
So, Anyway, but let's continue as is until there's either something better or you do something different and we'll
This number at least should match. If the monthly numbers don't match because of this contributed line here, the year-to-date number will match what's in your income statement. And so it's at $5.6 million for sewer. That's 60% of what we had budgeted for the year.
But in years past, that was a lump sum number that was given to us by the audit team, the previous audit. It was then
contributed capital. We haven't been reporting on contributed capital.
Something new with the new audit group.
Yeah.
Said, hey, by the way, it was always hitting the balance sheet and income statement.
Because it increases our net position at the end of the year.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll go back up to the memo then and continue on. We talked about access and impact fees. Here they are, about $66,000 collected this month. For the year, we're at $1,054,000. That's 33% of what we brought in last year. It's 21% of our budget. I may have alluded to it last month. We are looking at some ways of maybe giving you a leading indicator of what's to come as far as that's concerned, like what's in the pipeline and maybe even what might be imminent in terms of payments. So maybe we can give you a little bit more context too, for your sake and ours. So we have maybe a better understanding about what that actual number means in the context of all the projects going on. Here's that other piece we were talking about, cash reserves, and it does look a little bit different this month. So total unrestricted and restricted funds for water and sewer, $55 million. Compared to last year, it's almost the same. It's ahead by $590,000. And I've also given you here a comparison to the budget for FY26. So that number there, $45.6 million, that's how we projected, how we budgeted to end the fiscal year. So now here we are 7 months of the way through the fiscal year, and we're saying that our cash position is $9.4 million ahead of where we projected we would end the fiscal year. We are that far ahead because of this up here. Capital outlays 35% of budget, sewer 30% of budget, right? So yes, access and impact fees have not come in as we budgeted, at least so far this fiscal year, but also, as we've seen the past couple of years, we haven't spent our capital outlay quite on pace with what we've projected either.
Let me ask you a question on the access and impact fees. There was a foundation, when you budgeted, you had a Malvasil list and you had numbers behind that. So when we look at that, it's not a matter that it's not going to happen, that it will not happen. It's just a timing that, as those projects finish out, we'll see that money at some time based on the projects that you used to build the budget. So timing, not necessarily that we only have it for whatever percentage into the budget number, it's just a matter of when those projects close out before when we'll see those dollars.
Yeah, generally speaking, I would say that's true. For budget purposes, we might also build in a factor for projects not on our radar at budget season, but that we might expect halfway through the year to have another project that we didn't know about that comes online. So it might not tie exactly to what we project for a specific list of projects, but there's a strong correlation. Yep.
It could be just time.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The last item here is our purchased water unaccounted for 12-month rolling average. It's been at 9% for the past 2 months. It remains at 9% through January. That's my normal financial report. Before I leave, though, I need to give you another one. And this is the same annual report that I give to the Depository and Investment Committee. Our investment policy says once a year I need to give you, the full commission, a report of our investment transactions and results for the prior year. Okay. So let me do that.
Okay. And all that information was at the financial report.
Right. So each quarter I give our superintendent a quarterly report of our different funds for water and sewer, the different buckets that they're in. It's about a 6-page report. This is the opening page. It just shows at a high level, again, water and sewer funds, the different accounts or investments that they're in, and then a percentage for each. So I told the committee we always are interested to look at the percentage of funds invested in CDs, right? Typically at a 12-month term. So for water, that's about 58% of our $31 million is wrapped up in CDs. For sewer, it's about 63% invested in CDs. And that's a balancing act as we try to think about the cash that we need on hand versus what we can safely invest without feeling like we might need it before it matures. I got some notes here that I'll talk about as I go through it. But these are our checking accounts held at Arvest and First National. This shows you our general ledger balance, our bank balance, and that bank balance minus the $250,000 that's insured by the FDIC. To that number, I compare what the market value of the collateral is, those pledged securities held by the banks on our behalf. It should be, by policy, at least 102%. By my calculation for December, one of our banks is short of that 102%. I will tell you I've not seen that before, and I've got an inquiry in to see if perhaps I've made a miscalculation or if that's really something that needs to be fixed on their end. My layman's understanding of it is that collateral should sort of automatically update as the balance in our checking accounts varies. You can see for First National Bank, the value of collateral is well above what's in those accounts for depreciation and needed deposits. This page shows you our investments in CDs held at our various institutions, all of which are on our list of authorized depositories. You also see the rates that we're getting on these CDs, as well as the purchase and maturity date, balance of each. Altogether, it's about $33.6 million at December 31st. I won't touch on our accounts at Simmons and Regions, access and impact fees and debt service funds. I'll pause on this one just to show you that you get this report in your package each month. It's our restricted and unrestricted funds by water and sewer. And the point here is that it also shows you the comparison to our required minimum reserves. So you can see how we're doing relative to the required minimums. You can see in this case, the water department has $18 million more of unrestricted funds than is required. The sewer department has almost $13 million more than is required. These numbers here are actually our proposed required minimum reserves that we'll talk about later in the meeting, proposed for 2026. But that's there for reference. I'll keep going. This is the last part of my report here. This is a report on interest income and fees. So these are, again, our different accounts and different buckets, different places, checking accounts, CDs, and so on. You can see at December 31st, the interest rate for these, as well as the interest income earned, recorded for calendar year 2025. So our Arvest accounts, you can see we're earning 2.85%. First National Bank, we're earning 1%. We did switch one of our accounts from First National. It wasn't earning any interest. We switched over to Arvest for convenience and for a higher interest rate, that credit card account that you see there. Trust funds held at Simmons for our access and impact fees. These are in a government money market fund. They're earning 3.69% at year end compared to 4.36% a year ago. Certificates of deposit, we just saw the detail a minute ago. On average, we're earning about 4%. We had been earning 4.8%. Debt service accounts, another government money market fund, earning 3.35%. They have been earning 4.47%. It totals up to interest income of $2.19 million, which is just under the interest income of $2.24 million that we earned in 2024. And that concludes my financial reports, not only for the prior month, but also interest income and fees for the last full calendar year.
And on these last reports, the investment committee had earlier, and I'll let Travis address that as we get to, I think it's on 26-06 on the investment policy. So we'll come back to that.
Yes, sir.
So at this time, that concludes the financial report. Any questions? At this time, we are going to move back into the public forum section. We have this guest with us. Tom Blair.
Thanks, Jerry. Sorry for my tardiness today. It was all going great right until the moment it wasn't. And for once, it wasn't my fault. But at any rate, I was thinking on the way, driving over here, praying for Lee, because he's following me and Leslie's following me. I thought, what's kind of the message of the day? I mean, this is a small room. It's all a group of folks that are believers. But in the first day of early voting, what occurred to me is that the most important thing for those of us in this room that have devoted our lives to public service, whether it's through complete, full on, like I am, for I rely on it to pay my bills, or someone who is a lay servant that steps up and says, you know what, my time is worth more to the community than just playing golf or quilting. And so I think it's incumbent upon all of us to try to pick one or two people, the generation below us, and inspire them and encourage them to get involved in public service. Because I look across this ballot, not just in Benton County and Arkansas, but across the country, and I think, I'm not as excited about the candidates I see running for office as I was. Say back in the day when I was inspired to get involved in the 90s. So we're here today, though, to recognize someone that has done just what I suggested we should do. And that is step up and say, I'll take that seat and I'll serve faithfully. And I'll not just serve faithfully, I'm going to do it with a level of integrity and honor that will make my family and myself proud. And that Travis Green is an example of that. He's been an example of that since we were in junior high playing football together. Guy would knock your head off, I'll tell you that. He hit hard. He was real quiet about it, which was also, that was a little intimidating as well. But he ended up marrying one of the most wonderful women in the school that we went to school with, a great family. They've done so well in this community, and we're just so proud of your family and you, your professional accomplishments as well. But today we're here to say thank you so much for, during all of those years, 18 of which, you said, okay, I'm going to carve some time out away from my family, my work, my faith. I'm going to devote it to my community, and you've done so very faithfully and honorably. And on behalf of a grateful community, I'd like to present you with the key to the city that denotes the 18 years of public service, and congratulations. Oh. We appreciate you so much.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you all for your indulgence. You can get back to business. Town.
You bet.
One of these days, I'm getting paroled in about 2 years and 10 months. So I'll let you know.
Thank you, Mayor. I can't add. I'm not the public speaker he is, but I do want to thank you from my heart. The mentorship, the time spent guiding us and bringing us from 2008 till now.
Whatever it was.
It's been a little bit of change. A little bit of change in this system and this utility, and thank you for all of it again.
No, by all means, you'll from most of you probably don't realize that how far we've come. I've had jack squat to minimal to do with that, but historically looking at 18 years from where we are, we're kind of behind the times to today, where I feel like we're ahead of the times. For me, it's amazing. I've loved watching it all come together. I hope you all appreciate how good of a well-run organization this is now, and just the culture and quality of people and leadership. It's a special place. And you should be proud. I think you're good stewards of the ratepayers. And anybody that knows how cheap I am, that's that's saying a lot. But I'm always proud to be associated with you, and it's been a privilege. And if I can ever be of any help in the future, Y'all know where I am, or if you hang around Las Palmas long enough, I eventually wander in there about 11:30. Thank you all.
With that, I'll close it again with a forum. At this time, we're going to move on into the item number two on our reports, engineer report.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
This is the engineer's report for February. You caught me cheating by copying and pasting my cover sheet here. This is January. So our solids handling project's moving right along. Most of the large pieces of the dryer have been assembled. We found out that we're missing a few parts that are on their way this week, so that they can finish that assembly. But they're working on what they can for right now. We've also got the boilers set in place, and so the next few months are really going to spend working on all the plumbing and piping and air ducts and mechanical electrical systems, as well as some yard piping, as well as some conveyance and support. So that continues. We've had a little bit of an issue with supplier, you know, getting all the parts and everything, but it's working out. And for a project this large, it's going fairly smoothly. Project status, we've got four projects in pre-design that we're just working on selecting an engineer architect for those projects. Several in design, just making steady progress every month. We don't have anything out to bid right now, however, we did receive two bids last week, which we will present in this meeting. Several more under construction. Poplar Street's probably going to be the next one to finish. We're just about to get started on 4th Street Water and Sewer Improvements. So you'll start to see some construction activity pretty soon between Oak and Ulrich on 4th as you're driving over to the office here. And then last month we completed the Lakewood and Biltmore lift station generators just in time for the snow. Think we didn't have to use them, thank goodness, but they're there now. And also the West Oak Street improvements from 52nd to Dodson. If you've driven down there, it's all cleaned up, and nice little connector there between Horse Barn and Dodson. Development plans for January. We reviewed a total of 107 sets of plans. If you recall, a few months ago, we were up in around 150. And so you probably are looking at the same thing that I did when I saw this chart. And I thought, well, last month that was inconclusive, but this month it's starting to look like a downward trend. And I think we are seeing a few fewer plan review projects come through. Not quite seeing the number of commercial plan reviews, but also there's a little bit of changing going on in the planning process, where we've combined site development plan and public improvement plan submittals into one submittal, and so that would explain some of this. But I'm going to try to have some better data to really kind of gauge, you know, how. You know, if this is indicative of a slowdown of construction activity, or, you know, how much the planning process is affecting this. So I've got our list of projects here. Be happy to answer any questions you might have.
It will be interesting, the conclusions of your findings, because it also seems like feels like, you know, Chapter 14 was rewritten, and you've got new development codes, and it would just be interesting to see if that has impacted slowdown, or just people say, I want to try something else. So it'd be interesting to hear what you find.
We'll try to have some better data for you next month.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, that will be engineering reports. The next is pollution control. Good afternoon, sir.
Thank you, guys. You can see we had a really good month as far as performance of the plant goes in comparison to our permit. Nothing real significant to report there, other than it's always nice to start off the year in compliance.
Or any time during the year.
You know, there's never a good time to be out of compliance. I've got no planned excursions. Industrial pretreatment, surcharges, the changes that we made in those have impacted it a little bit. We're seeing a little bit of an increase from the previous year, but not a lot. So I think we hit our target on that minor change that we instituted in going to total nitrogen instead of just the ammonia. We are still having good luck in cooperation with Tyson's Chicken Quick and moving forward with their requirement to get things corrected to. I don't remember if Paul had that in there or not, but they're still cooperating. We're still moving forward on that. Our fog reports, pretty standard month there, unless there's something in there that specifically had you concerned. There was a change in the health department on the food truck policy. And so it's given Amber a little bit of extra work to do on that, but it has to do with external tanks and that kind of thing. She's probably given you more detail and more accurate detail than I'm recalling right off the top of my head. But that is a significant amount of change for her to go through and communicate to our food trucks in the area. Let's see, recap. Yeah, we did receive their engineering proposal, and it will be in next month's report, but we have responded to that. Work, as Brian mentioned, is continuing on our solids handling project. As they move out into the yard with the piping and some of the changes out in the yard piping, they're having a pretty significant impact on our movement through the plant, but they're also doing a good job of backfilling as they go. They're not leaving things open. So it's a daily change in how we get around the plant, but we're accommodating all that, working well together with the contractor. Only had 2.5 inches of rainfall in January, which was pretty dry, but about a half an MGD coming in to us. A day is really not a lot, but as dry as it's been, it's probably some energy just because it's inflow. We've got a couple of projects coming up that are planned, I think, that'll help with that. That's all I really have, unless you guys have questions.
Commissioners, questions, comments?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Todd.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes the report section. We have no old business to discuss, and we'll move into new business. The first item under new business is resolution number 26-05, a resolution waiving the requirement of competitive bid for purchase of property insurance and for other purposes.
Yes, this comes as a recommendation from the Depository and Investment Committee, and I take that back. This is not that item. This is
different. I know you're ready to get on that one.
Man, I'm just ready to move on. This is different.
Insured first.
Y'all are hearing about this for the first time. This would waive competitive bidding for our property insurance. We have a contract with Rogers Insurance Agency, now known as Anchor, A-N-K-R. I think there was a merger in the past few months. You might see their new signage along the highway. But that's our agent and the policy sale by Cincinnati Insurance Company. We are approaching year 3 of a 3-year rate lock with Cincinnati. You know that historically, when we have put this out to bid and tried to drum up a little bit more competition, it hasn't really produced anything. So going into the third year of a three-year rate lock, it makes practical sense, I think, to waive competitive bidding this year, go ahead and work on our contract renewal with Rogers Insurance Agency, Anchor, and that will come to you for consideration at the April meeting.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution number 26-25. Now we will move to resolution number 26-06. It's a resolution amending the policy and deposits on investments for Rogers Shaw Utilities and for other purposes. And I would note that the investment, the depository investment committee met prior to our meeting. And so I'll refer to Jared and also for Travis, who chairs that committee.
Right. And we do have the stamp of approval from the committee on this item. So this is a resolution to amend our investment policy. And accompanying the resolution are a couple of exhibits. Exhibit 1 with most of the text of the policy, and then Exhibit A related to our required minimum reserves. Exhibit 1 in your packet here is a marked up version showing our proposed changes. Right here at the beginning, we just have some updates to the language documenting the history of the resolution supporting this policy. There's an update to the numbering for the relevant state statute. And then under the section on collateralization, I have a minor edit that I think adds clarity to the intent of the policy. It says collateralization will be maintained as required by state law and procedures established by Rogers Water Utilities for demand deposits, time deposits, and other investments requiring collateralization. The market value of pledged securities shall be at least 102% of the principal and accrued interest, less the amount insured by the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. Again, not a change to the policy, but I think an improvement to the wording. And then under Exhibit A, this is where you see the proposed minimum reserves for 2026, as well as for reference, the adopted minimum reserves for 2025. The formula is not changing. We take the prior year operating expenses from our most recently completed audit. We subtract from that the significant non-cash depreciation amount, and then we're left with our unrestricted minimum reserves. So for the water department, the proposal is $12,086,000. That's an increase from $10,704,000 in 2025. And for sewer, the proposed unrestricted minimum reserve is $9,334,000. That's an increase from $9,049,000. And then for water only, we do have restricted minimum reserves. So among our restricted funds, we've got different buckets. The only one that has a required minimum is associated with our meter deposits. So the deposits that we collect from our customers, theoretically one day we've got to pay all those back if we had to. What we're saying we need to keep is what we owe. There's a few other notes here that I think add good context to this policy, including significant outstanding bonded debt, as well as our debt service coverage ratio. Again, those numbers are from our most recent audited financials. And you see there debt service coverage ratios of 4.6 for water, 7.74 for sewer, well above what most folks would call a comfortable 1.25. And then down at the bottom there, I'll read this. Unrestricted cash reserves are intended to be available for use when needed. Use of reserves may cause reserves to drop below the required minimums. Such drops should be temporary with the consent of the commission and accompanied by a plan to bring the reserves back up to the required minimums. And then my note there highlighted in yellow at the bottom defines for us minimum short-term reserves. This is equal to the unrestricted minimum reserves plus any restricted assets. That applies to both water and sewer. So these minimum short-term reserves we're going to be keeping either in cash or cash equivalents for easy access if needed. And here's an example with the December 31st numbers. So you, for water, you see that $12 million of required minimums for the unrestricted funds. And then at December 31st, we have all these restricted assets in these different buckets: meter deposits, debt reserve, access and impact fees, depreciation. It adds up to a combined $14.9 million. We're saying we need that basically liquid, close to it. And then for sewer, similar story down here. $9.3 million of required minimums in the unrestricted bucket, plus all of your restricted assets. And as of December 31st, it was $12.1 million. That would be our minimum short-term reserves there. So pretty straightforward. Not a lot of changes, just the numbers themselves being updated from 1 year to the next. So between the text of the policy changes for collateralization, again, the minor edits we made there, as well as the updates to our proposed minimum reserves, we'd be asking for your approval of this resolution.
So the policy exhibit modifications, again, were presented to the investment committee, and Travis,
we were all in agreement, makes sense to us, and for that reason, I will make a motion to approve resolution 2606.
Second.
Any further discussion? That came to our commission with a full recommendation of the committee. So have a motion, second. Any further discussion, commission members? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution number 26-06. The next item is also a part of the investment committee, and that is the banking and depositor institution approval list for this year.
Right. That policy and state statute require this body to annually designate our authorized depositories. This list, there is no change to, with one caveat. Cadence Bank was formerly on the list, and they were recently acquired by Huntington. So as a result, instead of Cadence, you see Huntington Bank shares there on the list. But Huntington and all the other depositories listed there, staff have confirmed, remain on the state's list of institutions eligible to receive public funds. And for that reason, we are requesting that the commission go ahead and authorize or approve this list of banks as recommended by the committee as well.
The staff recommendation from your request, I would entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 26-07.
Before that, this is just for the depository institutions.
It was
on the back side.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. I mean, it was on the back side of 3807. Right.
Okay. Sorry.
And these are the ones that it went to the policy, the investment policy. They've approved it, and again, it comes to us with a recommendation. Okay. So we just ask for an approval by this commission. So you have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Page that second. So yep. A motion and a second for the approval. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Abstain.
We have one abstention. Motion carries to approve the depository institutions for this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
now we'll move to 26. Okay, sorry. Right. Just on the back side of that one, you have it wrong. Okay, so we'll move now to item number 4 on our agenda. It's resolution number 26-07. It's a resolution authorizing an agreement concerning the relocation of a sewer line at 1902 South 12th Street in Rogers and for other purposes. Ryan, thank you.
Yes, so thank you. In summary, we have a builder who built a home's foundation and stem wall, and we were made aware that it was encroaching into one of our utility easements and sitting on top of a sewer main. And so when we made the builder aware of it and put a stop work order on it, we looked at the options, and either he was going to have to tear, part of the foundation out and redesign the home, or we were going to have to find a way to move the sewer line. Our camera crews went out and looked at the condition of the line. It had been repaired several times. It was an old clay line, and so we feel that it would probably have to be replaced pretty soon anyway. And so, we felt it was in the utility's best interest to have the line replaced rather than have the builder adjust the home's foundation. And so this resolution authorizes us to enter into an agreement with the property owner to cost share a portion of that sewer line relocation. The idea is that we would cost share the materials and subcontractor building manholes, and then have our crews run the line down the street instead of in between two houses like it's currently. That would be under that threshold that we would have to bring it back to commission at $42,000. Be happy to answer any questions, or we can look at a map if you'd like. I can show you where it is.
I'd make a motion to approve resolution 2607.
Second.
Motion is second. Discussion? Would you like to say a minute?
I was just wondering, if we're running it down the street, are there going to be street cost repairs then, or?
There will be street cut repairs, and yes, we'll figure that into the agreement as well.
Okay. Any further discussion? All the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 26-07. At this time, we have an executive session on our agenda. Resolution number 26-08 involves IT staff recommendations for IT security products and services that relate to security for the public water system and municipally owned utility system as defined by Arkansas Code 25-19-105B17. An executive session pursuant to Arkansas Code 25-19-106C1D is appropriate for the commission to hear a staff recommendation. So at this time, we are going to go. We'll go into executive session. The only parties in the executive session will be the committee member or the committee here, and then also commissioners. And Jared's going to be here, and Brent. So at this time, we would ask you all to step out. Now, the executive session is not recorded, but we will come back into session once we conclude the executive session. We'll come back in and we'll take action on the item that's on the agenda.
Do you have a point of question?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Does that need to be a motion?
Okay, Mr. Chairman, it would be appropriate to the chair to entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Thank you. Yes.
Would it be okay if we move this to the last?
I'm indifferent. It's just whatever. Does it make it easier on the entire staff to not have to wait for executive session to come back?
That's fine. Within the commission's authority to change the agenda. Are we ready to move it?
Okay. I think what I have is a motion to move that down to maybe the last item. That way, those that then need to will go to the executive session. Those of you all that are here that don't need to come back, you don't have to wait around to come back. So, with that, thank you. We're going to move that down to the item 8. And with that, then we're going to move into item number 6. That is bid results for Highway 12 waterline replacement.
I'd like to introduce Tim Mays with ESI. They're our consulting engineer on this project. We've been working with the Highway Department and with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Both have jurisdiction over these project boundaries. It's been a challenging one, but Tim's going to present the bids today, and hopefully we'll get those moving.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me. Brian, I'm just going to scroll down. Is that right?
To get yes. The image.
So the project that Brian referenced is the Highway 12 East Water Main Replacement Project. It starts at the westernmost edge of the bridge and runs back towards town about a mile. And the old line that's in there is an old cast iron line, and I think it's been problematic for the staff and others. And so the intent is to replace that line. The permitting on the project took a little longer than what we would like, but it was a lot of back and forth with the Arkansas Highway Department, the Department of Transportation, and in conjunction with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. We had to satisfy both because the jurisdiction falls with both. And one of the items through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is during the environmental review process, it was determined that a wetland study would be needed. So that study was commissioned and completed. And one thing that it identified is that we had to bore a few more creek crossings than we planned on boring and backwater locations. And so the scope of the project as far as the bores, the number, the length, the footage of bores grew slightly during that coordination with those agencies. So we opened bids on last Tuesday, actually, a week ago. There were two bidders on the project. I'll scroll down to the tabulation of bids. So there was Garrett Excavating. Their low bid was just over $3 million, and there was also Boyle's Construction. Their low bid was just over $2 million. The bids were about $1 million apart, which is significant. So we wanted to reach out to the contractor to make sure that he felt good about his bid. He did. He felt like his prices were competitive but reasonable. He wanted the project. There were a lot of other bids, I think, that he missed out on over the past few months. Anyway, he really wanted this project. Boyle's Construction, I think the commission and the department has worked with them before. We have worked with them before. They certainly are capable of performing the work that the project entails. I know there's we've had minor items on cleanup with them, but overall the quality of what they put in the ground was a good quality. The project also included, so there's our bid tabulations, which you have on your screen, and also our letter of recommendation that we provided on this. So we included in the bids the option of modifying some of the bores that cross some of the wetlands. And we thought we would see more savings in doing that. And so we looked at changing. The base bid included a standard bore, 8-inch water main with casing spacers and a large diameter steel encasement. We included another option to directional drill with no encasement. And so the dollar amount of difference was not as significant as what we thought it would be. It ended up being around $70,000. Well, to have that ability to pull a pipe out of an encasement is worth a lot. And also the durability of using a ductile iron pipe versus a HDPE pipe, I think that's also advantageous. So we recommend that the base bid be considered in lieu of the deductive alternate. And so that would be ultimately our recommendation on the project. If any of you have any questions, I'd be glad to try to answer them. Brian, if I've missed anything, please let me know. But the project dollar amount that we're recommending be awarded to Boyle's Construction, $2,093,875.52. There's 60 days, the bids are valid for a period of 60 days, once the commission takes action or the department, we can get the notice of award ready and issued for signature.
Mr. Mace, thank you.
Yeah,
questions,
thank you.
Comments?
Tim, that item 11, is that 100% additional and expected by that the Corps put on you with the creek wetland crossing?
Yes, item 11. That was originally not in the project in the form of a bore. It was essentially water main being installed.
Yeah.
And where it came into play is anytime that we were below the high water mark below. And so that's where it came into play. They consider that a wetland. And so that's the reasoning for that.
Travis, you found, I thought was interesting as you look at those two bids and you kind of compare those numbers, and some of the numbers, they make no sense because you've got, you know, when you go to OSHA standards and you've got one's 167, the one's 18,000, 167,000 versus 18,000. You wonder if it's something you missed. And so I know you appreciate your reviewing those, but you just kind of scratch your head going, is there something someone's missing? Because the numbers, again, in total were $1 million difference. But when you look at those lineups, you're going, did somebody miss something? So.
You're exactly right. Yeah, they were. They really seemed to want the job, and
we wanted to have it, but we also wanted to do it. So at this time, staff recommendation would be to award this again to Boyles Construction in the amount of $2,093,875.52, and you all will do the final contract form, and that'll be at your discretion. So. With that, that is a staff recommendation, and with that recommendation, I would entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the base bid, $2,093,875.52 to Boyles Construction.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve Boyles Construction Company for the Highway 12 waterline replacement.
Thank you.
Okay, the next will be bid results for the Blossom Lane Emergency Repair.
All right, this will finally finish up all the FRP that was done along this Blossom Way Creek. This is the last little bit, and we're also going to take care of some of the 24-inch sewer main that's ductile iron in the area. The plan was to combine them into one 42-inch. We felt like that would be a better use of the utility dollars there to combine those together. So the plan is for this little section to group them together and use some of the existing easement that we have for another sewer main here and combine them all. You can kind of see a little better representation here of the overall. So we will be abandoning what's red here, and then the green will be the new sewer alignment.
What's the type of material you're using?
We're going with PVC on this. We felt like the stability-wise, as far as structurally, we don't have any concerns, and cost savings comparatively to ductile, and then longevity of ductile, because sewer and ductile do not get along. The liners only last for so long. PVC is very resistant to those sewer gases.
You didn't want to try some of that fiberglass pipe again?
You know, we actually had somebody ask if we would look at considering their fiberglass. We told them not at this time.
That would be an impressive salesman.
You know, a lot of moxie there to suggest it, but you know. But we did have five bidders. Obviously, my engineer's estimate was grossly over, but I did not complain. The Ground Zero was very firm in their ability to do the work. They didn't feel like anything had been overlooked or that they had missed anything, so they were happy to do the job. So staff does recommend accepting of Ground Zero's bid of $992,084.50, and that does have $150,000 owner's allowance. More looking at the uncertainty of the rock, we did have some bores done, and we only found one spot that did hit refusal, but there is still a possibility. We know when the original sewer was put in that it did have some rock. You know, we did shift over a little bit, so hopefully we won't see much, if any, but
We do have a line item for it.
And Ground Zero, you're confident that they can, because they're significantly under, and obviously Wells didn't want this project.
That is correct. The bids were all in the neighborhood of each other, and Ground Zero has done very, very good work privately. We haven't worked with them directly, but we've inspected their work on other jobs, and it's been quality.
Very good. Okay, with that, any comments and motion?
I make a motion to accept engineering staff bid to utilize Ground Zero for the amount of $992,084.50.
Second. I'll second.
We have a motion, second, Travis. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries to approve Ground Zero for the Boston Water Emergency Repair. The next item is designating a water and sewer commissioner. So on the end, Travis is chair. Thank you, Travis, for chairing that committee, the Water Investment Committee. And with his leading our commission, we will need someone to serve in his place as chair of that committee. It's a two-year term. I would entertain a motion for someone would like to serve, and if so, then we would.
I would be willing to serve.
I have a willing servant, and with that, I would entertain a motion to appoint Janae as the chair of the Depository and Investment Committee.
I'll make a motion to have her be the chair, have Janae be the chair of the Depository and Investment Committee.
Second.
Page, thank you. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. You are now the chair for deposit and investment. Okay, and with that, and we're going to move back into, I'm not going to repeat all of the executive session, but what that does is I think allows everyone who needs to go on and enjoy their evening, if they can do that. Again, we will come back in to regular session. We're going to executive session. We'll come back and we're going to take action on the item if we need to. Thank you very much. So just if you're interested how the outcome is, stay with us and come back, but we'll call you back in. But at this time, I would entertain a motion to go into the executive session.
Motion.
Have a motion. I need a second.
Second.
Okay. Motion and a second for executive session. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Okay. We're going to go into executive session. Thank you all.
Okay.
At this time, we are going back into our regular meeting. The item before us will be resolution number 26-08, a resolution authorizing purchase of certain information technology, IT security products and services for SCADA redeployment project, appropriating funds for the purchase, waiving competitive bidding, and for other purposes.
I'll make a motion to pass as presented.
We have a motion.
Second.
Kathy, second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries to approve resolution 26-08. And with that will conclude all items on the agenda. And with that, I will entertain anything else. Travis,
thank you
for your service.
It's been great.
I've enjoyed knowing you for many years, and I've enjoyed serving with you. You are a man of integrity, and thank you for just the 18 years that you've committed. So
it's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I'd like to echo that. And
yes.
To Travis is the reason I'm on this commission, and was originally. And so, Travis, thank you very much. And I've enjoyed working with you in two different capacities.
Absolutely.
Good man.
Mm-hmm. Thank you all.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I want to say, I remember your first day as a commissioner. I'm probably the only one in this room. And I just want to thank you for early on, you know, all the hard times that you come into and the things that you dealt with and helped the utility deal with. As you said earlier, where we're at now, a lot of it's because of you guys up there, and a lot of it's because of you, Travis.
Oh,
I appreciate you.
No.
Appreciate what you have done for the utility and everything. and it's been a pleasure knowing you.
Wow, thank you, Johnny. Thank you.
Well, that concludes. Anybody else would like to?
Motion.
Travis wants to make it.
We have a motion second all around.